Wednesday's Grandma Sue Vance's birthday. She'll be 25. Davy Skyver, 27. Okay, you're right. It is 27. Yeah, 27. Just reverse those numbers. And Davy will be about 30, 31, somewhere in there. 31. And Diane Robinson will have on the 18th. Amen. Okie dokie. Mark chapter 2, I'm glad you're here. Glad you came tonight. How many came looking for a blessing? Oh, good to see each one of you. I'm glad the school's starting back up. Man, I'm excited about the kids coming back. Miss the kids. And they had no one to yell at but Rosie, you know. No, I never yell at the kids. But we got the carpets. Did you see the carpet over the Becca building? We had a professional cleaner come in there with a big time. Mike knew a man, and we called him in, and it looks nice. Maybe we can keep it that way for a couple months, amen? But don't spill your coffee and your pop on there. All righty. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, Mark chapter 2. We're glad each one of you are here tonight. God bless you. We've had a full day. We had dinner, and then we went out to the funeral, and Davey preached a great message. Boy, he said two might have got saved. He said two of them raised their hand in the invitations. That's great. And that went to about 5. We got back around 5 o'clock and ran and got some food for their fellowship they're having at their house. Got them about 20 after 5, grabbed something and grabbed my notes and came over here. Amen? And we had a 5:30 meeting. Had a good start at the 5:30 meeting today at the teachers. All right, Mark chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to talk to you about commitment makes things happen. We want to have a lot of things happen this year in Bethel Baptist Church, amen? Well, it's going to take commitment, and if we get all committed together, you'll see things happen, I'm telling you. Notice in verse 1 of chapter 2, again, he entered in Capernaum, and after some days, it was noise that he was in the house, and straightway, talking about Jesus, straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there were no room to receive him. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached, Jesus preached the word unto them. What the word of God, what the people need today is they need to be preached to. It's the preaching of God's word, the foolishness of preaching that brings people to Christ. Amen? And they come unto him, bringing him one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Four people were carrying him. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith. How many see that? Josh was teaching in Revelation this morning. He mentioned about, does Jesus hear our prayers? When you get to heaven, you can talk to Hezekiah. Because King Hezekiah prayed, and God said, Hezekiah, I saw your tears, and I heard your prayers. I'm going to let you live 15 more years. And Hezekiah went, yabba-dabba-doo. He went, thank you, Lord. Amen. He didn't do yabba-dabba-doo. I thought I'd just bring you with me. And when Jesus, by the way, Jesus sees us. He sees you. He knows your need. He knows your heartaches. He knows what you're going through. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto them, unto the sick of the... By the way, he saw their faith. That's something to think about. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, what did this man thus speak? Blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Hello? Jesus was God in the flesh. That's who he was. And immediately when Jesus perceived in the spirit that they so reasoned with, by the way, when you read John 14, Philip says, show us God that suffices. Jesus said to Philip, have I been with you so long and you don't know me? Jesus was God. Amen. And immediately when Jesus perceived in the spirit that they so reasoned with himself, he said to them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, go thy way into thine house, and immediately, verse 12, and immediately he arose. I like that immediately. When God does stuff, you ain't got to wait. He does it immediately. When you get saved, you're saved immediately. I'm not waiting to be saved. I got saved immediately. When the moment those two men asked Christ today and that really meant it from their heart, Brother Dave, immediately they were saved. They're not waiting to get saved. Once you trust Christ, he saves you right now. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God. Watch this. I'm stopping on this verse. And saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Eddie, they were so amazed what they saw. They exclaimed, we never saw it on this fashion. Father, I know in my heart, you told me to preach this message. Help me to do well for you, Father. I'm trying to lay a foundation on this first Sunday of commitment. Dear God, I pray you'll help me to do well for you, that I can be a blessing to the people. And Lord, I just pray if there be anyone here that know you as Savior, may they be saved tonight. And Lord, just bless each one, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. In verse 12, you'll note verse 12, we never saw it on this fashion. What a statement. Wow. These aren't saved people saying it. Those are lost people. They said, wow, we've never saw it on this fashion. I'd like to, and during 2008, Ruthie, I'd like to have some people say about Bethel Baptist Church, wow, we never saw it on this fashion. Amen? Amen? Miss Robin, I'd like them to say out there and get, wow, we never saw it in this fashion. Brother Bobby, I'd like to say out there, see not win them, say, wow, I never saw it in this fashion. I'd like to hear them see in Streetsboro, wow, I never saw it on this fashion. I see him saying over in Akron and Ravenna and Talmadge and you name the place, Brimfield, that wow, I never saw it on this fashion. I like to see him out there in Shalensville say, wow, we've never seen it in this fashion. Amen? Yeah. Now, they said this, verse 12, wow, they said we never saw it in this fashion, because that man was healed. People's hearts were moved by God when they saw that man that was had palsy healed. Stay with me. They saw Christ perform a miracle on the man with palsy, and they saw that it moved their heart. I'm leading up to something. Let me ask you two questions. If those four men who brought that man through the roof because there was no way to get in because there were so many people, if they wouldn't have the initiative and they wouldn't have had the commitment, because see, tonight's message is commitment make things happen. If those deacons, if those men wouldn't have had the commitment to get that man to Christ, are you still with me? Oh, I know they had faith, but I'm going to tell you that there was what generated that was more than faith. They had commitment. They were, nothing was going to stop them. They couldn't get, remember there were so many people, you couldn't get to the door, there were so many people. But they were so committed, they were so sold out. No, nothing's going to stop us from getting this man to Jesus. They were so committed to get that man to Christ. They went to all lengths, even tearing a roof off, but they got him to Jesus. Amen? Stay with me. If those four men who brought that man to Jesus that was healed, that brought him through the roof, if they were not committed to get him to Jesus, would that man have been healed? No, I do not believe so either, Brother Coolidge. If those four men that brought him, that he was born by four men were carrying him, born by four. If those four men were not committed, stay with me, I'm going to give you a biblical truth tonight. It can apply to your life in anything. It was the commitment of those four men that no matter what they had to do, whatever it cost, whatever it took, they were committed to get that man to Christ. And it was their commitment that made something happen. Made it possible to happen. Their faith made it happen, but the commitment made it possible to happen. Are you still with me? Stay with me. If those four men who had brought that man through the roof to Jesus were not committed to getting him to Jesus, would that man have been healed? And I believe the answer is no, most likely not. Second question is this. If that man who was healed, that was brought by those four committed men, if they weren't been committed, and that man does not get healed by Jesus, does the statement of the verse 12, we never saw it on this fashion, does it ever get spoken? You're right. Whoever said no was right. It would not have been spoken because the miracle would not have happened. Are you with me yet? So what I'm saying is, commitment made some things happen. Commitment made that man get healed, and commitment by four men to make sure that they got that man to Christ actually had more than just one man involved. It involved a lot of other people because many of them said, they exclaimed, we never saw it on this fashion. It was commitment that brought those words out. Can anyone say amen? Amen. What I want you to see is this. When people have faith and commit to do something. See, look at verse 5. Thy faith, look what Jesus said in verse 5. Jesus saw their faith. Yeah, they had faith. All we got to do is give them to Jesus. He can heal them. He said, thy faith. So watch, when people of faith, our church with faith, will commit to do something for God, it affects all kinds of people. Are you still with me? Stay with me. That commitment that those four men, because they were committed, not only did it affect that man that got healed, but it affected a lot of other people around there. Amen? See, what I'm trying to say is, how many would say amen? That commitment of those four men made things happen. Amen? Now watch. I have a goal this year to see at least 200 people saved. That's in the circle of our church. By the way, if you counted all the VBS and all the people that we won outside in Sundays, I think a few weeks ago, Grandma Sue won two or three. You realize how many kids get saved in Super Church? Kathy, I can't remember what Brent told me, but there were several saved in the last 8 months. But I think, by the way, I'm giving you some goals tonight, and what I'm giving you is not pie in the sky. I'm giving you what I feel in my heart is reality that we could do. I could say, oh, bless God, we're going to have 5,000 saved. No, you ain't. But I can see 200 being saved. Amen? Amen. Stay with me. I have a goal this year to see at least 200 people saved. By the way, that doesn't count the ones who are saved through our missionaries. We have 100, I'm talking about just a circle here at our church. If you counted the people that were saved through our missionaries, we'd have hundreds. If our missionaries only led two people to Christ in the whole year, we'd have 200 saved through our missionaries because we got 100 missionaries. If they had five, and we have 100, there'd be 500 right there. I know they got more than five a year, though. How many are still with me? But I'm talking about, listen to me, I'm talking about the circle right here in Ravenna, 200 people saved. We can do that in 2008. We can see, that's a number that's reachable. We can see 200 people saved here. We can this year. In 2008 at Bethel Baptist Church in Ravenna, Ohio. How many can believe to say amen? Now watch. The question is this. Do you think if we commit to winning 200 people for Christ, that only that 200 people will be affected? Now you're getting it. You're getting it. Was the one man that was healed, did it only affect him? It affected all kinds of people, didn't it? Now, stay with me. I want to show you what commitment can do if we'll just lock our hands together and commit together to do the things of Christ. if we'll witness and talk, tell people about our Savior, and we win 200 people to Christ, would just 200 be affected? No, be a multitude affected. How many can say amen? For instance, he had a goal. He told me this morning, he said, "Preacher, I want to be back. I've got to be." He had to do some work tonight, Brother Yost, Brother Dave Yost. He got led to Christ. Today his wife was here. Usually his mom and dad's here. His nephews are here. There's Sonia and there's Bobby and the two kids. I mean, it just goes on and on. Usually when people get saved, it's not just them that gets affected. It's a whole lot of others that are around them. So, Bobby, what I'm saying is if we could just reach 200, that 200 might be a whole lot bigger than what we know. If we'd be committed to do it. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Number two, I have a goal this year to see at least 100 people baptized. We baptized probably close to 100 this year. And that's only two. That's only two per week. 50 times two is 52 weeks. That's a little less than two. And we can do that. That would only be half of the 200. Half of 200 is 100. If only 100 got baptized. By the way, if we baptize 100, do you think if we could commit to get 100 people baptized, that only those 100 would be affected? Do you know how many people come to church when somebody gets baptized? Because it's such a great event. Hello? I want you to see what commitment would do if we would just apply ourselves to commit to getting people saved and baptized. Don't worry about the building out in the infirmary. We haven't forgot that, but that'll come when God wants it. We need to focus right here on people right now here. How many are still with me? Have you scrapped the program? Have not. I still got plans of going out there. But right now I'm doing one step at a time. Amen? And by the way, when you add people, guess what else comes into people? Money. You shouldn't add them for that, but as your church grows, your finances grow. Amen? Now watch. Do you think if we commit to get 100 people baptized, that only 100 will be affected? No, I believe many more will be affected. Number three. I have a goal. Now you might think this is low, but I have a goal. I have a goal to have at least, this is not a flim flam. I mean, I'm going to be me and the staff, and we're going to get this. We're going to get this. I'm telling you right now, we're going to get this. Last week you had about 140 in the church adult in the preaching service. You had more in super church, but in the sanctuary. He had about 140. When Steve Payton and them were here, Steve would used to count like 140, 145. That's what we'd normally run. What happens when you put another 80 adults in here? Woo! It'd be full, wouldn't it? Do 80 adults have children sometimes? I have a goal, and we're going after this. By next year, 2008 ends, I have a goal that we add at least 80 new members. Actually, 78, because Billy's number one, and that dear brother there, he's getting baptized tonight, and then he's going to join the church. So now I'm down to 78. Amen? Amen. I need 78 more members. Or I'm going to raise a fit. I am so serious. We are going to be committed when adults come. We're going to get in their homes. We're going to talk. We're going to show them the things of Christ. We're going to love them to death. And we're going to get them part of this church. This could be the last year Christ gives us to serve them. I believe he's coming back. This is the year, 2008, that Bethel Baptist, in the Lord's car, I'm not just... And I know I said, but in my heart, I feel good that God's putting good things are going to start coming here. I believe that. I think some other brother, it was a Brother Cooley, he feels it too, don't you, Brother Cooley? There's a spirit of God saying, I'm ready to do something. We get in those lessons, and you start seeing God bring, when you start teaching people what God wants, God brings people. I have a goal for 80 new members. See, that's not, you say that's, if we added 80 adults here, you'd be pretty excited. And we've got two already, so we're down to 78. Oh, give me 77. I got 70. I got 77. Amen. I got 77. Give me 76. I got 77. I got 76. Amen. Amen. Listen, do you think those 80 new members will not affect anyone else? By the way, they'll affect us too, because we'll be more excited when we don't see empty lumber. And by the way, God's not gonna make it possible until we fill this building. He supplies our need. I've got a lot of things. I'm gonna meet with the deacons, and then we're gonna have some men's meetings. Real soon, we're gonna have some men's meetings after, and I've got some things planned to do. We're not gonna just talk. We're gonna do them. We're gonna make more parking. We've got to make more parking for people. There's a lot of different things we're going to talk with you about. But we're going after it this year. And we're not talking. We're doing it. Amen? I'm talking about right here, 745 North Freedom Street. We can make it better here. This is what God gave us. And until he overflows it, we need to use every bit of it until he comes. Now notice. Do you think that the 80 new members will affect our weekly offerings to go up? Yes, they will. They will. And when more money comes in, guess what? That makes it easier to pay for things. Hello? By the way, the purpose is never to get them for money. The purpose is to get them for their soul. But when you take care of God's work, God takes care of our work, which is his anyways. Cliche, one goes to the other. Number four, I have a goal to pay off our debt this year. We can do it. We can pay off that debt retirement. My goal in 2008, one of them, I've got lots of them. You're not going to get them all tonight. I'm just going to give you a couple. But I want you to keep giving to God's 300. I want you to keep giving to the building fund. And what we're doing with that money, now don't hold me to the exact penny, but right now we have close to $50,000 in our savings account from the God's. Are you with me? We're locking that in. We're locking that in. That'll be there. Are you with me? But all the money that comes now in 2008, instead of putting it in the bank for to get rusty, we're going to shoot it right on the debt, right on the debt, right on the debt, deacons, so we can get out of debt as fast as we can. And but we'll hold back that 50 for a nest, for in case of a rainy day. Are you still with me? And by the way, like Brother David said to me the other day, he said, "Preacher, even when we go out there, we got to pay that one debt off. We got to pay it off anyways. Hello?" And so I'm going to be pushing and pushing. And I'm going to tell you right now, you there in God's 300, I think we started in May. I didn't get 300. I got about 70 people. I'm going to put a plea out again. And me and Rosie, I'm telling you right now, me and Rosie, we're going to do it for a second year. I'm going to keep doing it till God gives me the money to pay off the loan. Hello. And maybe as new people come in, they'll get on to God's 300. Am I making sense to anybody at all? But Brother Carl, Jesus said, "Owe no man nothing but to love him." And I'm determined we're gonna pay our debt off. I like being no debt. I want to encourage you in your homes to try to get debt free. Pay your debts. Get them off. Get out of debt the best way you can. Amen? Am I boring you? I have a goal to pay off the debt. By the way, do you think if people would commit to these 12 things, remember those 12 things I gave you today, the commitment sheet? Do you think if they would commit to those 12 things on that sheet that our debt retirement would not be affected? Do you realize if they would start tithing and start giving the faith promise and stuff, do you realize in the mission and the building fund, do you, if everyone start would get, be committed to do something like that, do you realize how that would affect our church? Come on. What I don't want you to miss this. I'm going to push for commitment. I'm committed. I really am. I promise you. And I'm going to push commitment this year. And sometimes you're going to say, boy, that preacher's mean. I mean, you're going to say, I'm going to snap right back at you and say, get back in your seat. I'm committed to do it. I don't care what you say. We're getting this done. But we're going to take the bull by the horns. And Eddie, this year, Bethel Baptist is going to see a lot of people saved. We're going to see a lot of people baptized. And we're going to get our church out of debt. And we're going to, Brother Perry, I shared this with you this morning. I was so thrilled. I preached there 2 times in December. He owes me one now to come here. He ought to give me, we ought to give us part of that check. I preach, he gets the money. I went in there and preached 2 times. They've got a smaller building, but they're always packed out. So Steve, I went in there the first of the month, December. This is January. December, the first Sunday. Then some other reason I was there for, I had to go there again for some other reason. I was in Toledo a couple times, and I don't even remember why I was there, Bobby, the second time. But I know the first time was for every year the anniversaries. Maybe I preached at Bill Turner's church or something, and then I caught Perry's on the Sunday. I can't remember. Anyways, I know I was there. I was there for a couple times in the month of December. And I stressed to his church, you need to get out of debt. You need to pay your debt off. He hardly ever preaches on money. I'm not ashamed to preach on money. I don't want money for myself. I want money for the Lord. It's a big difference. The gospel's free, but it costs money to take it out. Amen. It does, don't it, Brother Coolidge? And you know what he called me? He was so excited, deacons. He said, hey, preacher, how you doing? I said, I'm doing great, but it sounds like you're doing better than me. He said, now you ain't going to believe this. You aren't going to believe it. He said, but Brother Rich, I'm not pulling your leg. This time I'm really telling you the truth. Because most of the time he lies. About 85 to 90% he lies. But he's just funning. But he's crafty. But he said, preacher, I'm telling you, I'm not lying. I'm not lying. I said, well, what are you not lying about? He said, one of the members came up, he called me a couple days, I guess it was Monday or Tuesday, he said one of the members came up and gave him a check for $88,100. Amen. And I said, how much is your mortgage to pay off your church? He said, $88,100. I said, get that mortgage paid off, man. Because I need to buy 5 more. I've been telling them after they get that we're going to buy 5. They got a cornfield. They got to have it. I want 5 acres. I tell them what. I'm like the grandpa that goes down there and tell them what to do. And I said after that, I want you to get that cornfield next door to you. And because you're going to have that for you when you build your new building, you're going to have that 5 acres of land at least. But you know, see, and boy, you know what it did for Brother Perry? He'd been walking through a valley. It just, when you see God do something, it just encourages, don't it? It encouraged me. And the reason I'm telling you, God's just not working in amazing grace. He could do it here at our church. It don't have to be a member. It could be someone off the street that we don't even know. You don't know what God can do. But I know when Mike, he looks for churches that are committed to do his work. Why should he finance churches that aren't committed? Are you with me yet? And we need to make a full commitment starting with, that's why I know I was probably boring, and I'm probably boring tonight, But I'm plowing the ground like a farmer today, Brother Carl. I'm plowing and planting seed because we have to be committed this year because things are going to happen at Bethel Baptist Church. Amen. Because, Brother David, when people commit, commitment makes things happen. Would that man of palsy have got healed had he not had commitment to men that got him there? No. Well, they said, we've never seen things like that. See, we can hear people say, I never saw those things done in that fashion. But unless we're committed, they'll never say it. But we get committed here. I mean, really get committed. Really not play the game, but really get committed. People will be saying, I never saw anything like that. Amen? And then, do you think if people pray more daily, one of those commitments is praying? I'm serious about praying. Do you think if people commit to pray more daily and weekly for the work of God here, do you think if more of us all pray together, if we pray more than we've ever prayed and commit to pray more, do you think it'll affect the church in a positive way? Well, let's all pray a lot this week. Let's see what happens next Sunday. Amen? And I'm getting near the end. I have a goal to commit to building an addition. The deacons don't even know all about it. I know some, maybe they do. I have a goal to commit. We're looking into this. It's not nothing. I've got to talk over the men there. But the school has to be larger. We've got more students coming in. We're going to have more students coming during the year. And whether you believe, next year, people are watching this school. We're at 50 now. I'm going to tell you right now, next year we'll be 70 in September. Well, if we commit, even the people that bring into our church, well, we won't need an outsider. Just the new ones that come in our church will have their kids in our school. I know three of families right now that are coming from out of town. Different, they've got seven kids themselves. And they'll be here in a few months. Are you still with me? And we, Brother Freddie came up and Dave talked to me, and we were looking at last night. If we could just put an addition, maybe 20 feet on the Becca building. 20 feet by 60, whatever that building is. It would be more Sunday school. It would give us more high school, which is the most important thing for our, but also, when we have more people in our church, do you think we need a bigger fellowship building? Yeah. Hello? How many are still with me? Raji Witter, because his mind's rocking and rolling right now. I know Raji, but he's getting excited already. He didn't know about this one. This is a new burner, Raj. And it bears witness in my heart. Plus, ABL Club, I'm running packed. I could, if you had another 20 feet by 60, I could probably put another 50 seniors and run 150 instead of 100. Hello? See, it's just a matter of commitment. Oh, we can't do that. Why don't you get committed to do it? Hello? Well, why should we do it? We're going to build out there because we need it right now. And by the way, it just makes our property more valuable. And we're occupying until Jesus comes. Hello? 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 Is anybody home? How many like the idea to say amen? Roll me. Okay. Notice, it would also give more room for super church. It would add for the additional children when we have more members. Can you imagine if we could commit to build an addition to that Becker building? We'd have many more lives, could be affected. Can you imagine how many more people would be affected if we had a bigger building to put more people in? You can only pull what you can hold. You see, commitment makes a difference and makes things happen when people are sold out and committed. And by the way, do you think those four men who were committed to carrying that lame man to Jesus, do you think they were not also affected by his healing? How many think those four men that carried that man, do you think they got excited themselves when the guy got healed? Amen. I think it kind of helped those guys too. I think, Brother Dave, I think their commitment, Andy, I think it's like that man got, in a spiritual sense, he got saved. He couldn't walk, and then God, Christ made him whole. Are you with me? A spiritual application of salvation. How many are with me? When you see people get saved, you get excited. See, commitment doesn't just help that person and other people around them. It helps you that are committed. Amen? And then lastly, in February, when the adults are all doing those classes and being taught life-building 10 lessons of measuring the church by the Bible on salvation and baptism and Lord's Supper and the 10 major doctrines, 10, not doctrines, but biblical truths and discipleship, a saved membership, a baptized membership, a membership in the Lord's Supper, an organism, not just an organization, a praying membership, a giving membership, a witnessing membership, a which Bible, biblical correction, and why are we Baptists? You realize when we teach this, you think God's not going to bring people to get truth? When you commit to do right, God commits too. Hello? I'm going to tell you right now, I'm excited about this. I really am. And so I want to close with this. Let's all get committed so we can see things happen. Because as you well saw in Mark chapter 2, commitment makes things happen. Oh, nothing ever happens at Bethel. It can if we get committed. If we all get committed, Brother Mike. If we all just don't say, oh, well, I wish it was. No, I'm going to make a difference. No, give me one of those things. I'm going to help. I'll help carry the load. I'll get committed. I'll be there on Sunday morning. I'll be there Sunday night. I'll drive a bus. I'll teach a class. I'll do the nursery. I'll give a tithe. I'll give the missions. I'm committed. I'll do anything I need to do. As long as I get that person to Jesus. And that's what commitment does. And I want to challenge my church tonight on the first Sunday of 2008 of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know if we have all of 2008. He might come back before that. But let's commit to serve him and to do more and to accomplish more for Christ than we've ever done ever. I want you to look at those commitment sheets tonight. I want you to talk to God about them. I want you to sign them and bring them back. And I want you to commit. I'm going to be in church more. I'm going to read my Bible every day, no matter what. I'm not saying you got to read through it, there's not going to be one day that a portion of that I don't see some of God's Bible before the sun sets. I'll never let a day go by without my eyes seeing the Word of God. Amen? I'm not gonna let a day go by that I don't take time and at least pray once. I'm not going to have gossip on the phone. And all the other 12 things I said. And number 13, if you're not saved, you ought to make a commitment to get saved tonight so you don't die and go to hell. And the 14 says, I'm going to be a committed Christian in 2008. I preached all about commitment today. It's for the young people and the old people alike. We need commitment. God's given us another year. Let's commit. Like those four men did, Brother Raj. Let's all pick up one of the handles. And let's commit to get all the people we can. No matter what it costs. No matter what we got to do. Let's get all the people we can to our Savior. Because if we can get them to our Savior, Brother Mike, He can save them. He can heal them. He can change their lives. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. I pray that we'll learn a great truth about commitment. That real commitment with a body of believers can make things happen. I pray we'll rally this week and the coming weeks of 2008 to be committed to Sunday school and committed to choir and committed to giving and committed to praying and committed to reading and committed to telling people about Christ and giving out tracts and, Lord, just everything that you want from our lives, Lord, help us to be committed to teach and to work and to clean the church and to whatever it takes, Father. Run the bus routes. Whatever it takes. Do the nursing homes. ABL programs. Teenagers. Whatever it takes. Here am I. Send me. Help commitment be in our hearts. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed. How many tonight can say, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved? By the way, if you're going to get baptized, just come forward. Those who are going to get baptized, come forward. Thank you. How many can say, Preacher, I know for sure if I die, I go to heaven, I'm saved. Could you raise that hand? I'm positive I'm saved. Thank you. You may put them down. Is there anyone here tonight on this great night that we started in 2008? Is there anyone here that say, Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. If I died, I'd go to heaven, and I don't want to die and go to hell. Pastor, would you pray for me? Anyone like that tonight? Just lift your hand. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure. Anyone like that at all? Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die in my sins and go to hell. Pray for me. How many would say, Preacher, I'm going to tell you, God spoke to me today, the morning and the night, and I am going to commit to God. You can count on me. I'm going to commit my life this year for Christ. Who would say that with an uplifted hand? God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to commit to Christ. Amen. Maybe you've already been committed, but I mean, I'm talking about a renewed commitment. Heavenly Father, we did the best we could, and I pray you'll bless this message. I pray it'll linger in the hearts of the people. I pray, dear God, before this year's out, because of commitment of Bethel Baptist Church, hundreds and thousands of people would be affected in the words because of the commitment that's shown forth. We've never seen it on this fashion. Pray we'd hear these words before this year ends and all during it. I've never seen it on this fashion. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. What page you on, Rose? 388. You'd like to come, my Rosie?